Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see such a great crowd today. Thank you all for coming. In case we haven't met yet, my name's Bridget Reeb. I am a philosophy major and global health minor here at Allegheny College in Meadville. I'm also a former intelligence analyst with the National Security Agency and a disabled veteran. As what my academic advisor likes to call a journeyman philosopher, I did a research project on Mr. Rogers with Allegheny College this summer to try to define what his philosophy might be. That's an ongoing project of sorts that I am afraid may never have an end date, but I thought I would at least share some of the fruits of my labor with you today. First, I'd like to explain why Mr. Rogers is so important to me, and then I will use that explanation to show you what that has to do with moral integrity. For those of you who may have heard pieces of this story before, please bear with me. You may not have heard this story arranged in this particular manner before, and I hope that you will find it insightful hearing it in this manner. I'm a little past the age of Mr. Rogers' usual fans. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was a countercultural effort on the part of Fred and his team to present a thoughtful and social responsibility-minded television ministry to provide an alternative to the often violent and advertising-driven children's shows of the late 1960s to early 1970s. It did come back in 1979, luckily for me. I grew up in the 1980s, very poor, in a broken home. Often, we lived in hotel rooms or Section 8 housing when we weren't living on my abusive stepfather's family property in Knights Landing. Knights Landing, California, is a Northern California community of less than 1,000 people. It's mostly composed of farm workers and the rural poor, very much like Meadville. My mother and stepfather were addicts, and my father was, up until the very last few years, an active alcoholic with bipolar disorder. Gang violence and drugs were present even in elementary school. I learned what the Crip and Blood colors were before I learned algebra. The models that I was exposed to as a young person were some of the very worst that you could think of. While it may have been initially designed as a countercultural effort against children's entertainment, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood became the de facto best example of what being a kind and caring adult would look like that many American children would ever receive both inside and outside the home. That was certainly the case for me. I don't honestly remember very much about his show from when I watched it as a child. By the time that my memory had begun to cement itself, I had aged out of what I considered little kids' shows. What I do remember about Mr. Rogers as a kid is that he always did what he said that he would. He had integrity. He would leave every day when the show ended, but he would always come back. My father would disappear for months at a time when his depressive bouts from bipolar would rear their ugly head. My stepfather was consistently around, but he was extremely authoritarian. Mr. Rogers always came with an invitation. I could say no if I wanted. He was consistently kind. Mr. Rogers didn't have moral integrity just because he said he did what he said he would when he could. He had moral integrity because he did the right thing when he could, even when it was hard. It's difficult to imagine Mr. Rogers as a shy, chubby boy. However, I believe that he channeled the trauma of being isolated and bullied as a sickly rich child who is often called Fat Freddy by his classmates in school and frequently chased home into a motivation to help children learn not only how to love others, but how to love themselves. Imagine going from a sickly, shy little boy to standing not only in front of television cameras, but in front of Congress when he testified to save public broadcasting funds in 1969. I don't think Mr. Rogers became Mr. Rogers because it was what he wanted necessarily, being such a shy child growing up. I think he did it because it was the right thing to do, even if it may have been hard for him to step into the spotlight. Rogers was a trained musician, but he didn't have any training in singing. If you listen to the way that he sings, it's more like he's actually talking. I learned from taking voice lessons over the last year that learning how to sing properly is actually really hard. He sang those songs to kids anyway, because he knew that they needed to hear that message coming from him, not somebody else who might be better at singing than he was. This is precisely because everyone of all ages, but especially children, need to hear these messages from someone they trust as having moral integrity. He sang not because he thought he was an amazing singer and he needed everybody to hear him sing, but he did it because it was the right thing to do. If you've ever sang in front of people before, you know how scary it can be sometimes. People can be mean, no matter how hard you try or how good you are. In fact, many people criticized Mr. Rogers as a sissy and took other jabs at his masculinity. This is moral integrity, doing the right thing even when it is hard. Mr. Rogers helped me do that when it was one of the most difficult times in my life. I was and still am afflicted with what I know now as a neurological condition called hyperadrenergic postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And yes, I know that is a mouthful and I've had to practice saying it. And I got that following a pharmaceutical injury in October of 2021. I was unable to walk or eat properly for several months. For 2.5 weeks, I was hospitalized at the Washington DC VA hospital. Initially, people took my illness seriously, but after multiple tests came back with no answers, the physicians misdiagnosed me with something called conversion disorder. What conversion disorder basically means is that the symptoms a person is experiencing don't fit any established pattern of medical illness. This diagnosis has a lot of potential to gaslight patients, and there should be better mechanisms in place to prevent what happened to me from happening to anybody else. Once I realized that nobody believed me, that I had a neurological condition, even though I had presented them with several very good reasons why they should, I was so sad and so very angry. It wasn't just doctors either. Once I had a diagnosed mental illness, my friends withdrew their support. I am still very sad and angry about this today. I wanted to scream at my friends and sue my doctors. This was during the pandemic in a hospital. I was very physically and metaphysically lonely, and probably at one of the most vulnerable and lowest times of my life. While I was looking for a movie to help pass the time, I ran across the Mr. Rogers movie, the new one with Tom Hanks in it, in case any of you have seen it yet, it's wonderful. I decided to watch it from my hospital bed. It's called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I apologize if this is a spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen the movie yet, but in the movie, Mr. Rogers helps fictional journalist named Lloyd Vogel, who is based on the actual journalist from, I believe it is Esquire, named Tom Junod, deal with the mad that he felt and do the right thing with it. When Mr. Rogers asked me on the television screen, "What do you do with the mad that you feel?" I really thought hard about it. The longer I thought about it, the more I realized that hurting other people would only feel good in the short term. It would make me feel bad for hurting my friends, and it wouldn't make the problem in medicine better. What I decided that I would do with the mad that I felt was this. I would use my military educational benefits to go to school, to become a public health educator in philosophy, and make things better for people like me. Mr. Rogers didn't stop helping me just because I grew up. He has often been quoted as saying that attitudes are caught, not taught. To me, this is an excellent reason to say that Mr. Rogers knew it was important to model moral integrity, to do the right thing, even when it's hard, for the world to see. Not because it gets attention, but because we know that people have to be exposed to somebody modeling moral integrity in order to catch it. When others see that you have an attitude of moral integrity, they will be more likely to act like what they see than if someone stands up into a classroom and teaches them how to be a good person. And I apologize to my professors in the audience. I know I'm kind of taking a jab at you a little bit there. I love philosophy too, but I firmly believe that the most important kind of philosophy is the everyday kind that people use to make decisions about their lives and about that of their neighborhoods. And it's a kind of philosophy that we need to talk about more. It sounds so easy to love your neighbors when they're being nice to you. It's a lot harder when they're being cruel. Like how the people in Mr. Rogers' school treated him, and how my doctors and friends treated me. If we can love our neighbors, even when it's hard, we can be that someone who helps them catch moral integrity, like Mr. Rogers did for me, and for so many other children, even those who are just kids at heart. Whether it was inviting Officer Clemens to share a kiddie pool with him when pools were still segregated, testifying in front of Congress to save public broadcasting funds, or simply singing a children's song in front of audiences around the world, Mr. Rogers has modeled for us many ways to deal with anger with moral integrity. I'm excited to see what you can do too. Next, I'm going to be singing one of my favorite songs from Mr. Rogers that actually has a really cool basis in philosophy that, if anybody's really into that philosophy stuff, has a basis in I Thou theory by a philosopher named Martin Buber. And what it does is it helps us see and love the neighbor or the fellow human being inside of not only other people, but ourselves too. I'm going to be singing that with you today, and Amy's going to be helping me with that.